जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन नंदन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन नंदन, यमुना तीरा वन चारी, यमुना तीरा वन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhav, Jaya Radha Madhav, Radha Madhav, Jaya Radha Madhav. Jaya Nrisimhadev, Jaya Nrisimhadev, Nrisimhadev, Jaya Nrisimhadev. Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva, Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gora Hari Bol. Jaya, Jaya, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraj Gacharya Shri Astotara Sarashri Srimadis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Shri Radha Madhavasta Saki Vrinda Ki Shri Nrisimhadeva Bhagavan Ki Shri Panchatattva Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Vishnupad. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamine Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschete Deshatarine Mukham Karati Vachalam Pangung Langhayate Kirin Yat Kripata Mahang Vande Shri Guru Dina Taranam Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakchur Unmilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Narayanam Namaskritam, Naram Jeva Narottamam, Devam Saraswatim Vyasam, Tato Jaya Mudirayet. Nasta Prayashava Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seva, Bhagavati Uttama Shlokir, Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srinivatam Svakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantastya Badrani Vidhunoti Suhritsatam. Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from Canto 9, Chapter 24, Text 57. This chapter is entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Parasya drasuratmanaha. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Nahi asya janmano heto. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Nahi asya janmano heto. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasuratmanaha. Matajis. Nahi asya janmano hetu. Karmano va mahipate. Atma mayam vineshasya. Parasya drasturatmanaha. Okay. Please repeat after me. Na. Not. He. Indeed. Asya. Of him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Janmanaha. Of the appearance. Or taking birth. Hetu. There is any cause. Karmanaha. Or for acting. Va. Either. Mahipate. O King Maharaj Parikshit, Atma Mayam, his supreme compassion for the fallen souls, Vina, without, Ishasya, of the supreme controller, Parasya, of the personality of Godhead, who is beyond the material world, Drashtu, of the super soul, who witnesses everyone's activities, Atmanaha, of the super soul of everyone, Translation, please repeat. O King Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Supersoul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Please listen, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, O King, Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Supersoul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Purport. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living being. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana devanetrena jantur deho papatyate. A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 61, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this, or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advance myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people who, because of a poor fund of knowledge, think that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as asamaurdhva. According to the Vishvakosha dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 14, Devihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word Maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. Translation again. O King Maharaj Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Supersoul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, not even the results of fruitive activities. So to recap, what we've spoken about so far in this canto, it starts off with Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Shukadev Goswami about all the different manus. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks if Shukadev Goswami can give more details about the dynasties and kings of Vaivashvata Manu. So they talk extensively about the different kings and dynasties, and there's some small descriptions here and there. And now we're looking at the Yadu dynasty. that Krishna was born in. We talked about how Vasudev had 8 sons, with the last one being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And then recently, the last verse, it says that Krishna came because of a decline in religious principles and a rise in irreligious principles. And today, it says that the Lord has no cause to appear, even though in the last verse, he gave some reasons why he appeared. So when I was looking at this verse, it was a little confusing. There's no cause, but here's some reasons why it came. Here's some causes. So today I thought we would look at the cause of the causeless. And we'll do that by differentiating between the appearance of an ordinary living being and then the appearance of Krishna, and then try to understand that how, if Krishna is causeless, then why does he come? Like, if you have no reason to go somewhere, you wouldn't go there, right? So that was kind of my mentality when I was like, first reading it. Why would he come if he doesn't have to come? So first we'll look at the reason for our own appearance in the material world. So I was thinking, as an example, I remember once my husband and I, we were in Navadvip, and we wanted to cross back to Mayapur. And you know, they have the regular boat that everyone takes with the motor and the dust and or the gas or whatever, and the regular one. And then they have this nice launch, you know, it's painted and it has benches and it's sheltered, right? For you to take the regular boat, it's about 2 rupees, and then to take the launch, it was 6 rupees, and it was brand new at that time. So my husband said, what do you think? Do you want to try the launch? And I said, all right, sure, why not? So we paid our 6 rupees each, and we took the launch across the Ganga, got to Mayapur. And he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, whether I took the boat or the launch, we crossed the Ganga. So I don't see much of a difference. So that was the first and last time we took that launch. This is like, what, a couple years ago, I think. So I'll connect that in a minute, but first let's analyze the initial reason for our appearance in the material world. And Srila Prabhupada says this very nicely, that it's our denial of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a lecture in December 20th of 1974, he says exactly this. He says, how have we come to the material nature? That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, that Icha Dvesha Smuthena Sarge Yanti Parantapa. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 27. Icha Dvesha, there are 2 things, hatred and desire. Something we desire and something we hate. Icha Dvesha. 2 kinds of propensities are there. So when we want to enjoy this material world, that is called Icha. And when we want to disobey God, that is called Dvesha. So that Icha Dvesha there can be. That is 2 opposing elements. So the reason for our appearance in the material world is Icha Dvesha, is that we had hatred and desire. We desired to be on the same level of Krishna. We desired to be Krishna. And we disregarded his position as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the initial. So then Krishna very nicely gives us a place where we can pretend that we have some control called the material world. So based on our karma, we accept a body accordingly. It says in the purport, rather one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma, right? Some people have to take the 2 rupees boat. Some people have to take the 6 rupees ship launch, depending on what they paid, right? Depending on past activities. So in the same way, depending on our own past activities, we get certain bodies. Some are very fortunate, some are less fortunate, some are doing okay. In fact, there was a really I liked how he said that he referred to the body as kind of a machine. It's just a machine that you're that's imposed upon you. So you get the machine based upon your karma, based upon your past activities. Basic introduction to Krishna consciousness type stuff. Right? If you have a 2 rupees ticket, you take the 2 rupees, 6 rupees ticket. There's no, I have a 2 rupees, but I want to get on a 6 rupees launch. It doesn't work like that. Same thing. Can we wait until afterwards? Okay. So we've discussed our position, right? That we're forced into the material world based on our karma. Now let's look at the reason for Krishna's appearance. So the first thing is, he's not bound by fruit of activity like we are. We're forced to come here. He's not forced to come here. He doesn't have to come here. He's not bound by karma. He's not bound by past activity. He has no restrictions like that. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Verse 20, it says, "The Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead is himself this cosmos, and still he is aloof from it. From him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated, in him it rests, and unto him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I've given only a synopsis." So Krishna creates the material universe, and even though there is control there, he's completely aloof from that. He doesn't participate in that. So he has no involvement in the material world. The material world is for us to enjoy, supposedly. Even in the translation itself here, for this verse, it says, as the super soul, he knows everything. So he knows everything, he's controlling everything, but he's not involved in it. So it's kind of like, I kind of thought of it like, let's say you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, he does some tests and he says, okay, you have diabetes, just as an example, right? A lot of devotees have diabetes these days. There's too many gulab jamuns and rice and stuff. So the doctor says, look, you have to stop eating rice. You have to stop eating potatoes. You have to stop eating sweets. You know, you have to do a little bit more exercise. So tell me, does the doctor also have to follow those rules? No. You're the one that's sick. Why does he have to follow? Isn't it? In the same way, we're the ones with the illness. We're the ones that have that misconception of wanting to control. Krishna doesn't have that misconception. He knows who the controller is. He's the controller. So he doesn't have to follow any rules and regulations like we do, just like the doctor. We're the ones that made the transgression. So Krishna doesn't come because of fruit of activities. Krishna doesn't come because we're devotees. Just because we're devotees doesn't mean that we have Krishna in our back pocket. We can just pull him out every time, like a credit card. So whatever suffering we go to, Krishna is not, he doesn't have to come because we're in a certain condition. That's also another cause. He doesn't have to come. And just because we are devotees, it doesn't mean that we become free from suffering. Srila Prabhupada says, I really like this, listen to this one, because this is really nice. He says in a lecture on October 4th in 1974, this was such a good point, there were so many dangers. So just imagine that the Pandavas, they had their wife Draupadi. She is the incarnation of the goddess of fortune. And friend Krishna, who is always protecting them. But still, there are so many dangers. This is the instruction that because Krishna is protecting you, you cannot expect that you'll be out of danger. Danger you must meet, because then you'll know that this material existence is full of dangers. That really, like, when I heard Srila Prabhupada say that, that really hit me. Because in our mind, we think now we're devotees, we're just suddenly like liberated from all material sufferings in the world. And here Srila Prabhupada is giving a fine example of the Pandavas, where Draupadi is herself an incarnation of the goddess of fortune. The Pandavas literally used to sit next to Krishna and eat. You know, they had such a close connection with Krishna. But did their suffering end? Did it end? They suffered. They had lots of suffering. Wax palace, right? Disrobing, the game of dice. Went into exile. There's so many examples. Kunti, being a single mother of 5 children. So many examples. The suffering doesn't end just because you become a devotee. You manage the suffering because Krishna is with you. That's the difference. Srila Prabhupada says somewhere, he gives an example of an illness. He says that if you have an illness, and you deny that you have an illness, or you accept that you have an illness, or you don't know the cause, or you do know the cause of an illness, does it mean you're sick or not sick? You're still sick. You still have an illness. Denial of an illness doesn't make you less ill. So we're all in the material world, and we're all suffering in the material world. Even though we've accepted Krishna, it doesn't mean we don't suffer in the material world. That's the nature of the material world. So it's just something to keep in mind that Krishna doesn't owe us for our devotion. We can chant one round, 16 rounds, 64 rounds. He's not indebted to us for those activities. That's for us. That's our connection. So we've talked about Krishna is not bound by fruit of activity, and Krishna is not bound by us just being devotees. He's not our credit card in the back pocket. So then what causes Krishna to come if he's causeless? So the answer you can see in the previous verse where it says, the personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, appears by his own will. By his own will. That's the key word. He does it because he wants to. Not because there's an imposition on him or because he has to. Right? If, let's say you went to work and they gave you $100. Let's say, and then you walk down the street and you see someone who's very poor and they're asking for some money, and you give $10 of your $100. People are like, wow, you're very charitable. But if at work they automatically take $10 out of your account, no matter where they're sending that money to, no one is glorifying you. So in the same way, if Krishna is forced to help us, there's no glory in that. But when he wants to, when he's compelled to, that's where the beauty is. That's where the ras is. There's another word that's not really mentioned. It's not mentioned in the translation, but it's in the transliteration. And the word is, let's see, where is it? It's Atma Maya. Where is it? Atma Maya. His supreme compassion for the fallen souls. So Krishna, the cause of the causeless, the only reason for his coming is because he wants to, because of his compassion for us. When he sees irreligion decreasing, or irreligion rising and religion decreasing, He feels compelled out of his own will to come and save the jivas. It's so wonderful when you think about it this way. Because in the beginning it seemed a little negative, like he doesn't have to come, then why would he come? But then you realize that he comes not because he has to come, but because he wants to come out of love for us. He's just compelled to. He's not bound by a material imposition like we are. And who does he save? Srila Prabhupada says at the very end of the purport, who does he save? By his potency. The Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. It's reminded me of, again, my husband and I are reading Nityananda Charitamrita together. And there was one line that stuck out to me while we were reading a couple nights back, where Advaitacharya is offering prayers to Lord Nityananda. And he says, the Lord can deliver everyone. Or sorry. He says, so Advaita says to Nityananda, you deliver the fallen souls without seeing their faults. You deliver the fallen souls without seeing their faults. And I thought that was such a beautiful line. Beautiful line. Because here we see that we worship a God who is so kind that even if there's no goodness in us, and even when we see no goodness in ourselves, and even when the world sees no goodness in us, still, Krishna can look past that. And he doesn't see any of our faults. He only sees what's good, what's redeemable. I thought that was absolutely amazing. That every one of us, no matter what our situation is worthy of redemption. So now we understand that the cause of the causeless, what makes Krishna come, is not imposed upon him, but by his own desire. How do we make Krishna appear? Srila Prabhupada says that only by surrender, when we surrender Krishna, then Krishna is compelled to come to us. And it's very easy. We hear this all the time. Just surrender. Just surrender to Krishna. Like, it's so easy. Like, I can just run to the store and pick up some surrender, you know, and bring it back. Just surrender to Krishna. It's not so easy. So, to surrender to Krishna, it really has to come from a very large place of trust and faith. You can't really reason it or put some logic to it. You really have to believe and have implicit faith in who Krishna is and his position. You can compel Krishna to come first by your unconditional surrender. In Shikshastakam, this is my favorite verse. It says in verse 8, I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So regardless of whether you get the results of your desire or whether or not you're saved from that situation, it doesn't deter you from your faith in Krishna. This is the first thing that Krishna considers, that no matter how many hardships you go through, you're still behind him, right? You are still in his corner. This is the first consideration. The second consideration is that it has to be unflinching. So it has to be unconditional, whether he helps you or not, and then unflinching. You have to be sure that he's coming. I kind of, you can equate it. Like I said, it has to have that faith. It has to have that trust. Like today to come here, right? I sat on the back of my husband's scooter. And it rained last night very badly. There was thunder, rain. And the whole road is muddy and wet. And there's puddles. And you don't know where the potholes are. And I had to sit on the back of the scooter. And while we're driving, I have to have faith that he won't drop me. And I won't be sitting here covered in mud giving class. Some faith must be there. Unflinching faith. Because if it's flinching, at any moment I could just jump off the scooter. Right? But I'm not in a better situation if I do that. It used to be, I remember like before, like a couple years back when he was just learning, and it was, my faith was very flinching with him and this scooter. And I would be, and the problem is because I was so nervous, it made him imbalanced, and then I would fall off anyway. So the faith has to be unflinching. You have to be sure he will take care of you. You sit properly on the back of the scooter and you go. And be sure he won't drop you and cover you in mud and water and pothole dirt and whatever is out there. Another example is of a baby. This is an even better example. Because a baby has no choice but to be dependent on the mother. It has no choice. The baby can't be like, you're not a good mom, see you later, and he puts on his little baby hat and like leaves. He can't do that. He doesn't have that ability. So to have unflinching faith, you literally have to be like, you know, I have no other choice but to surrender. Just like a baby. I have no other choice but to give myself to you. And that's kind of the mentality that we need to develop, is when we're in a bind or not in a bind, but usually when we're in a bind, you need to stand in front of Krishna and say, look, nobody else can do anything for me, and I'm just waiting for you, and you need to figure this out. And be completely helpless. And then Krishna becomes compelled to appear. I remember my Guru Maharaj Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj said that if you take responsibility for 80, then Krishna will only give you 20. If you take responsibility for 50, he'll only give you 50. But if you take no responsibility and just give it to Krishna, then Krishna has to take full responsibility, just like a baby. So we all have to develop that mentality that if we want Krishna to appear in our lives, if we want him to be present in our lives, we have to really surrender. Not just, I surrender and I chant and go to Mangal Arati. Meaning from your heart, it must be unflinching and it must be unconditional. So today, we've talked about, we've analyzed what exactly does it mean when Krishna is causeless. But what is the reason for his coming? First, we understood it by understanding what our position is as the jiva. Then what Krishna is not, how he's not, doesn't have the same implications that we have. And then we saw what it takes for Krishna to come to the material world. So that's about all the thoughts I had for today on this topic. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Mataji, one of the passages you read, you mentioned that Draupadi is an incarnation of the goddess Apachun. And she is also known to be the wife of the five Pandavas. However, at other places, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that at other places, Srila Prabhupada also mentions that the goddess of fortune is always with Lord Narayana at his lotus feet serving him. And when in this world most people pray to her, they pray to her for wealth and fortune and all that. And in that way, she comes to them and she's chanchala and she leaves. Mm-hmm. But when you mention this passage, it's a query that's been with me for over a decade. Could you please help understand how, even though she's the goddess of fortune and she's always with Narayana, how come she is with the Pandavas as their wife?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because even though she is the goddess of fortune, she is still associated with Krishna. She's still, like, her and Krishna, they're tight. They're best friends. 100%. So even though there's not a marital relationship there, there is some kind of relationship there. And I know that Srila Prabhupada says that she's an incarnation of the goddess of fortune, but I've also read that she's kind of an, like, not a direct incarnation. It's like, kind of like a partial incarnation. So, I mean, that's the best I could answer that, is that even though they don't have that marital relationship, they couldn't fulfill that role, still, they did have that friendship relationship. We can also see that Arjuna and Krishna, it's always mentioned in the Mahabharata, they're like Nara and Narayana. They're completely inseparable from each other. So, you know, it's a very indirect relationship in that way too. So, I mean, it's a good question. Sorry, did you want to ask something?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna
Prabhu. Mataji, when super soul exists in each and every entity.
Uh-huh.
When super soul is existing in each and every entity,
yeah.
And everything is happening according to the will of the Lord Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Everything will be happened according to his will only.
Yeah.
We are only a tools, puppets in the hands of Lord.
Absolutely.
So then how we are responsible for our deeds and why we are suffering?
How are we responsible for the deeds of who? Of our deeds?
No, how we are responsible for, you know, deeds in the sense, our sins, our activities in the world. So when, if everything is the responsible of Lord Krishna, he is the person,
uh-huh.
You know,
right.
No one can go against his will.
Right.
So if that is the case, why we are to suffer and why we are behaving in different ways? Until unless the Lord's permission is not there, we cannot mukam karoti vachanam. So in that is the case, everything is taken care of by
Lord. Are you talking about like initially, like why did we fall down? If everything is controlled by Krishna and everything happens by his will, why would we even fall down? Is that what you're asking? Because I think there's also a matter of free will that needs to be considered. We have some free will. You can't force somebody to love you. That would be great. We'd all have our high school crushes if we could force somebody to love us. But Krishna, you know, and yes, it's his will. What his will is that he wants us to choose him, not be forced to love him. That's his real will. So we're free to, and this seems like forever for us, but honestly, the material world is just a cloud that sometimes appears. It's not even something permanent. So it's like, you know, a second for them. But for us, we remember everything, and we're like, wow, that was a bad experience. And then after that, there's no chance of fall down again. It becomes not even a question of taking Krishna's position. Does that answer your question? No?
Actually, my doubt is, Mataji, so we are only the puppets, nothing we cannot do. Even if you want to do something, you cannot do it until the Lord's desire and Lord's will, Lord's permission. Mm-hmm. Everything is taken by Lord.
Yeah.
Even for each and every step, even we are talking, we are doing something, everything is to be acted by the Lord Krishna only.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the case, what way we are responsible for that. You know? See, suppose if I want to do something, I cannot do until unless the Lord gives the permission.
Right.
Then, you know, why you are suffering and why you have to sin and all those things? Why?
Right. Why are you suffering? Why? If Krishna controls everything, then you just surrender to Krishna.
Huh.
Then why bother suffering? Like, why bother trying to control?
So in the material life, so that is the reason, I think, seems to be.
Right, because we wanted to control.
Yeah.
But while trying to control, we realize we're actually not the controllers. We're small controllers. Like, I can choose if I want to, you know, sleep in 5 minutes or wake up on time, right? And Krishna will allow that. Sure, if you want to do that and see what happens. It's your choice. So you have some small control, but ultimately Krishna is the main controller. And once you submit to that, then it becomes unquestionable. But the material world is meant for suffering. There's nothing else. Thank you. Sorry, the Prabhu had a...
Thank you, Mataji.
No problem, Prabhu. I had a question in the back.
I don't have a question.
Sure.
It's in connection to the first question. I was just looking around about Draupadi, because
mm-hmm.
I heard something connected to that a few years back. Also, from what I saw, what I found, I find in one place that Prabhupada is talking about Draupadi, and he's explaining that she's a partial incarnation of Goddess Sachi, the wife of Indra. So it seems like in some places she's not described as Lakshmi.
Yeah.
In some places she's just described as not an ordinary Jiva, but still Jiva Tattva.
Right.
Because I remember one devotee telling me that the reason why Krishna allowed her to marry the 5 Pandavas is that at some point in one life she wanted to marry Krishna, but because she was an ordinary Jiva and Krishna does not interact not with ordinary jivas,
right,
he allowed her to marry the 5 Pandavas, which were actually expansions of his potency. So in one way, you get to associate with Krishna
right.
on that level. So it's still a bit ambiguous, but I'm trying to figure out, is she, like, because in some places it says she's Shakti Tattva, in some places she's described as Jiva Tattva.
Yeah.
So we first need to clarify that before we can answer the question.
Yeah, it's very unclear because when I was looking for that particular section, Srila Prabhupada many times says that she's an incarnation of the Goddess of Fortune. It's not just this one random time. So it's very hard to...
This is in a lecture, and he says she's an incarnation, a partial incarnation of a Goddess Sachi, Indra's wife.
Right.
She's a demigoddess.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not an answer, but...
If anybody else has an answer for that question, that would be really good. I would appreciate some insight.
Well, I read Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radharani expands herself as the goddesses of fortune, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
The queens of Dwarka and the damsels of Raja. The gopis.
Right.
And then the Goddess of Fortune expands herself as Mahamaya, Durga Devi, and then all women in the world are expansions of Mahamaya.
Mm-hmm.
So, just from that point of view, the goddess is goddess of fortune is expanded. Like, she's not just, she's at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, but she's also Draupadi, she's also a lot of people.
Right.
Because the whole female gender, according to that verse, expands from Srimati Radharani, mm-hmm. and the whole male gender expands from Krishna. Krishna expands as the Chakravyuha, Lord Narayan, Brahma comes from his navel, the projectors.
Right.
So male and female, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's all a matter of expansion. So they're simultaneously one and different.
Yeah. Yep, that's interesting.
But a question that I had was, okay. In purport you mentioned two different words about Krishna. Sometimes it said that he advanced, mm-hmm. and other places it's mentioned that he appears. I don't know if it's that big a difference, but you know, advent means coming from one place to another, from up to down,
mm-hmm.
And appears. Well, now you see, now you don't, and then here they are. They appear. So, is there a difference there, or what's, how is that, you know, like ascertained, or one word or another, appear or advent?
I think Srila Prabhupada uses it interchangeably, because when he describes what an appearance means, it's basically the same thing. It's that people don't die, they don't just disappear, or they don't just, like, poof, go away, right? They just go from one place to the next. So it's kind of, you know, a synonym of the same thing, I would think. Does anyone else have a question? Or a comment? Okay, thank you all very much for your kind patience with me. Thank you for coming to this class. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.